Welcome to Bob Cargill's Marketing Show, a ridiculously awesome podcast bursting with insightful commentaries and intriguing conversations on the topics and issues that are on the minds of marketers, advertisers, social media, and PR professionals today. Hey, everybody, this is Bob Cargill. Welcome to Bob Cargill's Marketing Show. I am here today outside on a very seasonably warm, I think, day here in March in Newton Upper Falls, walking alongside the Charles River with my good friend Jamie Bradley. Jamie has been, like me, in marketing for a long time, and we're going to have this great chat, I think, about marketing, social media, print, direct mail, email, you name it. So let me ask Jamie right off the bat to introduce himself to you guys, and we'll take it from there. Jamie, tell everybody about your background.
Hi, Bob. Thanks, everybody. It's nice to have a chance to talk to you about this. So I have been working in printing for over 35 years and worked with printers, and that's been a lot of the work that I've done. But I've also expanded into working with the promotional materials, stuff for trade shows, apparel, and really what I see my role as now with my company is that I help manage the process of selecting and organizing and delivering all those materials that people use for marketing.
That is excellent, Jamie. And we know each other. We've been in the industry together, but I don't believe, unless my memory serves me incorrectly, I don't think we've ever worked together, but we've seen each other millions of times at events through NEDMA, the New England Direct Marketing Association, AMA Boston, and networking events and tweet-ups. And we've seen a lot of changes over the years. I know I have, and I'm certain you have as well. What kind of changes have you seen in marketing in the last, let's say, 10, 20 years?
Well, obviously, there's been a big switch toward using digital channels for marketing. You know, my background is in the physical things, direct mail and that kind of material. But the digital aspect of it has definitely impacted the world of marketing. When I was working in printing in the 90s and people were starting to spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to build websites, they wanted, instead of having me print 10,000 brochures, they'd say, all right, print 2,000 and give me the PDF so I can put it on my website. And that was the big change I saw coming.
It's funny how nowadays everybody wants things quicker. And again, we do a lot of what we do nowadays, at least I do, online. But there is still, in fact, maybe more so than in a number of years, a big demand, or should I say high expectations with regard to direct mail and print, because people aren't seeing it as much as they used to. So maybe it's standing out more. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. The volume of direct mail that's being sent out has gone down, and that it actually creates an opportunity for marketers because there's less competition for people's attention. They're not as used to seeing that form of marketing anymore. And so when they get a brochure or a catalog or something that catches their eye, they actually hold on to it. It's not like getting an email and then just deleting it at the end of the day.
So I do a ton of social media. You know that. And I see you on social media a lot, Jamie. And what I think where we're kind of going with this is people should not overlook the importance and value and possibility of integrating mail into their marketing mix. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And the thing that we have that's better now is the amount of data that we can put together when you're building a marketing list and when you're going to be sending things out to your potential clients and prospects. There's so much more you can know about people and be able to target based on what their interests are. And the technology allows you to actually vary the message from one piece to the next, just like you would with an email, but now it's on a printed page. And that gives you a chance to talk one-to-one with your client. But it's something that they're holding in their hand instead of looking at on a screen.
Fascinating. And I'm going to digress for a minute here. I mentioned where we are near the Charles River in Newton. This is Newton Lower Falls, am I correct?
I think this is the Upper Falls.
Upper Falls.
Right.
Lower Falls, Upper Falls. What's the difference? So it's the Upper Falls. And a lot of background noise, folks. It's beautiful here. And actually, I don't think it's too much noise. It's beautiful for us to be walking alongside the water. And you can see the white caps, if you will, on the Charles River. I hope it's not too much noise in the background for you guys who are listening. And I just want to tell you, it's beautiful to just, it's so nice just to be outside after the winter we've had.
It is nice to be outside. The England winters can drag on a bit. So anytime you can get out and get a little sunshine, get some vitamin D, it's perfect.
You as you said, a little sunshine, the sun popped out of the clouds. And folks, it's in the morning here, late morning, and the sun is out, and white caps on the water, and Newton, Upper Falls, Charles River, it's beautiful here. And just trying to describe the scene for you who are listening so you can picture Jamie and I walking alongside the Charles. And why don't we sit down on this bench, Jamie? This looks comfortable. So how about some specific questions about projects you're working on or have worked on recently? Anything that you have worked on or seen that is doing particularly well in today's marketing climate?
Well, some of the new trends that are happening now. I was at the Promotional Products Association trade show in Las Vegas in January, and some of the new things that are happening is there's a lot of ecological consciousness that's building. When you think about, the towns voting to restrict usage of disposable plastic bottles and disposable bags, the one-use kinds of items, so that more and more companies have an opportunity to get their brand in front of an audience that's going to be receptive to having that product in their hand. You give someone a travel tumbler that's got your logo on it, and they're going to refill it, 100 times. They're actually carrying your brand around with them. So it's a pretty effective way to get noticed, and you're giving a useful item to people. Some of the other things that I saw when I was out there, cannabis industry actually is growing in terms of the kinds of promotional materials that are being directed at that. We mentioned direct mail. That's actually a lot more of the promotional companies are getting into doing packaging as well as, putting your logo on an item so that you can actually have a retail package look for your clients when you give them a gift. Instead of it just seem like some inexpensive tchotchke, you're actually giving them something that has a very high perceived value.
So I did a ton of direct mail in my day, and I still do direct mail. I was talking to you earlier about a big direct mail project I worked on for a nonprofit just a few months ago. I would think some of the, we used to call them dimensionals, packages, items that are tangible. If you were to send that to your target audience in this day and age when people are so used to digital and email and social, again, I'm obviously a big proponent of the latter, digital and social, but I also, having had so much direct mail and print, and I'm talking about these dimensional packages in my background, I would think that would stand out and make such a difference in a brand's campaign.
It really does, because you're giving them something tangible, you're giving them something that's useful. With promotional products, and there's really three reasons for using promotional products. One is for straight branding. You want people to know that your company exists. You want them to see your logo. You want them to, identify with you in some way. And just, you're building awareness, almost like any other type of advertising. The second reason for using promotional products is to reward someone for a behavior that they've done, like a thank you gift, or like if someone's starting at their company, it's like, here's the welcome kit, for when you come to work for us, and it's got some swag in there, business cards, and make the person feel like they're appreciated. That's what the thank you gift aspect of it is. And then the third aspect of using promotional products, the third reason, is to give some people an incentive to behave a certain way. So you want them to say, you're at a trade show and you want them to sign up for your email list or set an appointment or whatever. they come up to your booth and you talk to them, and when they sign up,
yep.
that's when you hand them the gift, and it's a physical reminder that they spoke to you, but also there's a sense of reciprocity.
You, yes.
when you, if you studied Robert Cialdini's influence, reciprocity is very, very powerful. People feel like since you gave them something, there's a, you know, they owe something back to you. So if they
quid pro quo.
Exactly, exactly. There's it's very, very powerful, and so, people appreciate that, you know, they've got something useful.
So I think there's probably a lot of people in business that might not know what we're talking about, and what I mean by that is younger generation, they're digital natives, and they're not necessarily going to think print, tangible, things you can hold first. I would think, again, that there's so much opportunity here, and it's ironic that what you and I grew up with, and I say grew up with loosely, did in our careers early on, I would think is potentially more powerful than ever. The possibilities are endless, because if you combine what the digital natives are used to doing, and that is, you know, email and social and landing pages, and again, I'm a believer in all of that, with the impact of print or these thank you gifts. And then the psychology, maybe, you know, that's something else where we're obviously incorporating. You mentioned the reciprocity, and I said quid pro quo. I mean, there's some powerful psychological trigger techniques you can use that can trigger a response. And as I say that, I think to my background in direct marketing and direct response, to me, anything we put out there should drive action.
I absolutely agree. And one of the things that I was reading was that with millennials, and by the way, I hate that term because so many people use it in a derogatory way, and I think it's just people who are young and excited about learning something new and doing something different.
I think you and I can both probably say we're baby boomers, and same thing. We don't like being necessarily stereotyped or generalized. So yeah, I think there's, you know, young or old, I think we're, you know, younger or older, everything we're talking about applies, obviously, equally.
Right, right. And, you know, if you're excited about what you do, then you're excited about what
exactly.
you do.
Exactly.
But what I was starting to say is
I interrupted you. Apologize.
You know, I went off on that tangent, too, because I hate that when people, you know, categorized a group in a certain way. But what they were actually finding is that the level of trust from direct mail is like 30% higher than it is for email or any other kind of medium. It's something like the response and the trustworthiness people have in printed materials is much higher than what they see and read on a screen.
So don't get me going, Jamie, because you're saying a very good point, and I think it's ironic. And I say don't get me going, meaning there's a little bit of bitterness here that I'm going to share in a minute. But also you're turning a bad into a good. And where I'm going to go with this is when I did only direct mail, and this is pre-internet days. Yes, embarrassingly so. I've already said I'm a boomer. Jamie's a boomer too, so we're on the same page. You know, junk mail ruined it. The scammers, the junk mail ruined it for the good mailers, in that people started to turn off from all the mail they were getting because a lot of it was chicanery and misleading and deceptive. And that's unfortunate. So response rates for a while might have gone down because people started saying, I'm not going to open it. It's junk mail. I don't like that term at all, junk mail. But that's what happened. Then in the email world, spammers ruined it. And I've been saying to those in social media for a long time, please let's monitor ourselves, let's legislate, let's at least, you know, work within certain parameters so we don't ruin it for the marketers, which is me and my brethren, my clients. And what I like you so I say don't get me going, because I've always been so upset with those who abuse these channels we use for marketing, when they oversaturate, you know, what our consumers are using as communication channels, when they oversaturate it with spam, if you will. But what you're saying is what's old is new again, or something like that. What's new is old again. No, it's what's old is new again. You know, direct mail rates are booming, and that's a good thing. And I hope those in email can learn from that and those in social can learn from that and not ruin it by oversaturating, by being overly aggressive. Just be more personable than promotional. I say that all the time to my clients.
Yeah, I think I've seen a statistic that the response rate for direct mail is something like 1,000% better than email.
That is amazing. That is amazing. Now, I bet you, like I say, email marketers probably said when email came to the forefront that their response rates were better than direct mail. But now you're telling me direct mail is better than email. I love hearing that, Jamie.
Yeah, I mean, both of them, to do effectively, you have to spend money, you have to put in effort, you have to know what you're doing. And I think maybe part of that could be because if you're going to spend money to have something printed and then put a stamp on it and send it out to people and have a, you know, you want to make sure your list is really clean, you want to make sure it's targeted well. Whereas email, it's like, oh, well, you know, we get so many thousands of emails a month for free with our account, it's included, so I'm just going to send them out and not be that careful.
Well, again, I'm not saying I'm not a proponent, because I am, of email and social, but not at the expense of mail, meaning I think all these channels can be equally effective if used appropriately. And I will make a sweeping statement, as I already did. I'll reinforce that statement that I think the bad marketers, the bad marketers, have ruined it for some of the good marketers in that they do spam. They do put junk mail out there, and it's unfortunate because what it does is sensitize our audience to be thinking and generalizing that all marketers and all advertisers are liars. And obviously, far, far from the truth. We're all out there trying to sell something in any kind of business whatsoever. People need marketers. People need to advertise. And so it's what channels are going to work best. And so people like you and me and the agencies we represent, the partners we represent, we're the good guys. We think of what's going to work best. We believe in being, like I said, personable, not necessarily promotional, authentic, genuine, transparent, etc.
Absolutely. And really, the people that have the best success are the ones that use more than one channel.
Yes.
That they combine the channels together. You know, you send out a catalog or a postcard or whatever, and then you send people to a landing page on your website, and that's where they may actually order.
Yes.
I mean, look at a company like L.L. Bean. They still print catalogs. They've got retail stores. And meanwhile, they're still sending out emails. Their biggest source of business is online orders and still, amazingly, 800 number phone calls.
Love that, and Jamie, and I love that you're taking us down another path, and that is, you know, mentioning other companies. Are there any that you can think of? I mean, I can think of some, but I'll give you the first dibs, and you can pass it back to me if you want to. But companies that are using both mail, and I'll throw, you know, digital and social into the mix, meaning the perfect integration. Can you name some, or even just business categories?
Well, I remember I was at a conference a few years ago, and I heard the owner of an agency speak about his agency had done a project. It was a catalog for Zappos. Now, Zappos is the ultimate internet company.
Yes.
But they decided, well, you know what, let's just try this. We'll send out catalogs to some of our previous clients. We'll see, you know, we'll get some other people onto our list. And what they found is that they got some tremendous response rate compared to what they were getting with just their emails. And what they found is the largest number of orders that came from the catalog happened 5 weeks after they mailed it out. So what that means is that people got the catalog and they didn't throw it away. They held on to it, they looked at it, and then not only did they ordered the average shopping cart size was larger than a typical online order. So they looked at the catalog and saw more than one thing, or maybe three things that they liked, and then ordered based on what they saw, as opposed to, you know, seeing an email, here's what's on special, or I'm looking for this specific thing. You know, they saw things in there that a catalog, in many ways, is easier to browse. than going through a website.
Yeah, and it also has legs. I mean, it you know, has a physical presence, and if it's attractive, if you will, and useful, people are going to keep it on their coffee table or in the kitchen or hey, in the bathroom, but wherever they do their reading, to be honest with you. And they're going to refer to it over and over again. And whereas I think everyone would admit, you know, you get something online, you don't necessarily go back to it time and time again. So if you can pull that off, meaning have the print version, let's say, of what you're doing digitally, at the very least, I think that makes sense, and it makes sense testing something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I was going to ask, like, you know, companies, you mentioned L.L. Bean, you know, there are other Zappos you mentioned. What about marketers? We were talking earlier before we turned on the podcast. We talked about Seth Godin. I can think of, you know, others like Chris Brogan. He's always been an inspiration to me in the social media world. Hey, I'm a copywriter by trade. David Ogilvy, he's someone who's inspired me, you know, reading his books. And learning his principles, if you will. Joan Throckmorton, she wrote a great book that I read years ago about direct response advertising. Can you name any people that stand out to you who either inspired you early in your career or now who are thought leaders?
Well, this is going to sound like you threw me a softball question, but I'm going to say you, Bob. Actually, you convinced me, you told me probably in 2007, 2008 that I should write a blog. And I did. I actually did. I was working for, it was before I had my own company, and I wrote one. And, you know, just got it started and, you know, just knew that this is the way things were changing. And I put a link to it in my work email signature, and my boss saw it, and he threatened to fire me because he thought I was doing something sneaky.
Yep.
He thought I was trying to start my own thing, you know, and he just was totally distrustful of it, that it was this, you know, some kind of evil thing that I was doing to take business away instead of trying a new way to, you know, attract attention. So it, I did end up having to take it off, you know, and a few months later I no longer work there. So,
geez, did I get you in trouble? So you turned something really positive there. I was totally flattered and surprised. No, I did. It's not a softball question. I had no idea you were going to mention me in a good way, but then it quickly became possibly a bad way because it sounds like you starting the blog got your boss so upset that you did eventually.
It was mutual that it was not a good fit for me. But, you know, I tell that story as kind of a cautionary tale that when you want to try something new, there's going to be people that doubt whether or not that's the right thing to do. And people aren't going to trust that. And, you know, so many times we run into that idea of, oh, we tried that before, it'll never work, or what are you doing? It's a waste of time, only to find out later that is the way the trends are going. So it's always important to stay ahead of what's happening next.
Love that, Jamie, what you just said, and it's going to give me an opportunity to say a little something about social media and blogging. And so Jamie started his in 07, and folks, that's early, and that's early on in the infancy of social media. And I don't think you're a writer per se, Jamie, correct?
Well, I was a communications major in college and did a tiny amount of writing for a newspaper that I worked with a long time ago. But mostly my writing has been, you know, for sales and that proposals and that kind of thing. And so that's about clear communication.
I forgot that part of your background. So you have writing in your background. My point, you started a blog early on. Good for you. And thank you for any acknowledgments you've given to me for inspiring you. Because I started mine in 04. And it's sad that... So I agree, folks, with what Jamie just said, that you got to take risks and be willing to swim upstream, if you will, when we're looking at the fast-moving currents here. So that inspired that little comment. You know, you got to be willing to swim upstream every once in a while if you want to come up with something new and different and break new ground. And blogging, social media, that's what, certainly back then, 2004, 2007, it certainly was new and different. Companies need to support the employees. They're your rock stars, the people who are going to put themselves out there on behalf of your brand and use social media. And if you don't have a blog, to me, in this day and age, you're absolutely, you've fallen behind the times, because a blog is a way to brand yourself. It's a way to drive traffic to your website. And here we are starting most, talking most of this conversation about print and direct mail, but you need to complement it with an online presence, have a blog, use social media, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, you name it. I think it's the whole mix how you're going to succeed in this day and age.
Yeah, I agree, Bob. And I think probably for the people that are listening to your podcast on a regular basis, either they're already active using social media or trying to learn and trying to integrate it more into what they do. What I was saying before about trying something new, if you haven't tried print and direct mail, and that may be something new that would be useful for your company. What Bob was saying before about junk mail and the way it used to be was totally true. The other thing is that the whole paper industry was a heavy polluter. Like Bob said, we're staring at this, beautiful river going by. And they would just, environmentally, they could be pretty bad. That is absolutely not true anymore. And the idea that, we don't want to do print, that kills trees, we're sending you an email now instead of sending you a catalog. The paper industry has become wholeheartedly embracing the ecological movement. So if a tree gets cut down, they're planting 7 to 8 more. And saying you don't use paper because it kills trees is like saying you don't wear clothes because it kills cotton plants. It's a farmed industry.
Yep, of course.
Not everywhere, but even where it's not specifically farmed, where they're planting and then going back, 25 years later and cutting those trees down, and the large swaths of forest across the Northeast and Northwest where they are getting paper from original forest, they are managing that property and keeping it as open space and open land that otherwise would be used for some other kind of development.
Jamie, you are a wealth of knowledge, I'm telling you. You have all the background, the data, the stories to back up your expertise and brilliance. And I said it was seasonably warm. I don't know what I was talking about. It seems seasonably cool the longer we sit here, because it's a little windy and I don't have gloves on, so my hands are cold. And I'm holding the microphone right in front of Jamie, to make sure the quality of the sound is good. I hope it is for you folks listening. I hope what Jamie and I have proven during this conversation is, I think people like you and I, Jamie, and there's obviously plenty of others like us out there, we're stewards of the industry in which we earn our livelihood. We believe, I think, equally in direct mail, print, email, websites, social media, of course, any kind of communication that works. And we want to use those channels responsibly, and we certainly wish that those around us do too. And I think we agree there are plenty that do use them well. And those that don't, again, I think those are the ones that may give marketing and salespeople and advertising people a bad name. But listen, everybody, I've always said this, is selling something. No matter what business you're in, you have to promote your goods, your services, yourself. If you're a politician, if you're a doctor, if you're a teacher, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. And as marketers, I think people like Jamie and I, patting ourselves on the back here, can promote pretty much anything, and we have over the years. Am I right? Any strange or unique products or services you've promoted? And maybe this will be one of the last questions, because I'm starting to shiver a little bit.
Yeah, at one point I did printing for fundraising for an evangelical minister down in New York City, and he had some pretty weird stuff. He used to buy his mailing list from the National Enquirer.
Ooh.
So that gives you an idea of the level of people that he was targeting. And I've worked on a lot of weird kinds of things.
I have, honestly, a universal list of clients I've worked for, and I've actually, whether they read it or not, sent it to potential clients or recruiters every once in a while. And it's hundreds. I mean, I once wrote strictly direct mail, or mostly direct mail for magazines, circulation, promotion, and a lot of nonprofits. But I counted about 200 magazines have I written direct mail for, and about 100 different nonprofits. And you can imagine all the causes I've written for, and some of them, yeah, have been somewhat extreme. But I tell people when they say, oh, you know, is this something you're interested in, or oh, is this something you can do? Hey, man, I've sold almost everything, you know, and that's in print, email, social, you name it.
But wait, there's more. No.
my wife does always, yeah, exactly. I say, I'm trying to, oh, I use that. That's right. You know, you'll get this, you'll get that. Who was it? What's his name on Saturday Live who used to do that?
Yeah, yeah.
It slices, it dices. Dan Aykroyd. Yeah. He had a great little bit. We're making fun of marketers now. but hey, you know, look it, I have a podcast now. I started out strictly as a direct mail writer 35 years ago. Now, you know, podcasts, YouTube videos. Folks, this has been Bob Cargill, Bob Cargill's Marketing Show, talking to Jamie Bradley. Jamie's going to tell us how you can reach out to him. And I'm saying this about him. He cited me from my blog, and that was unexpected. Thank you very, very much, Jamie. You inspire me just as an all-around great guy, number one. And yes, of all the people I know, and I know just about everyone in the Boston area, certainly in marketing, Jamie's right up there at the very top of people who know print better than anybody. And he, if you want to learn from one of the best, work with one of the best, he's going to tell you how you can reach him.
Yeah, so my company is Sophwell, S-O-P-H-W-E-L-L, and you can reach me, my website at sophwell.com. You can find me on Twitter at Sophwell. You can find me on LinkedIn, Jamie Bradley, J-A-M-I-E-B-R-A-D-L-E-Y, and also on Instagram. I have a Facebook page. Those are much less active. Usually Twitter or LinkedIn are the best places to reach me, or just go to my website and reach out from contact page. But I'd love to hear from people. I'd love to hear what you think. And, you know, if you're looking for ideas, I love talking to people about what the possibilities are, what they can do. So I'd love to hear from you.
Two baby boomers talking a lot about social media, and we got websites, we got podcasts, we got blogs, you name it. But you know what? Our backgrounds are in print, and Jamie has made a strong case today for the power of print is much or more than ever. And I second that motion, if you will, because that was my background, is my background, and I still do a ton of print. So Jamie, thank you so much for taking the time today as the sun comes out and maybe the temperature goes up a notch or two.
Thanks, Bob. I really appreciate the opportunity to do this. And like, you know, I wasn't just kidding when I said how much respect I have for you and what you've done and the excitement and enthusiasm you bring to everything you do. So it's just awesome.
Thank you. I know sometimes I'm a little over the top, but I love what I do, whatever I'm doing. So, folks, this has been Bob Cargill's Marketing Show with Jamie Bradley. And thank you for listening today. And I will see you again soon. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.